thank you for waiting. You waited so that your mezakes atzibur, your mezakes arrived, en chepa liodos. Ideal position to be in before Yom Kippur. It's a wondrous day, Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu washes all our sins away. If we do tshuva, Yom Kippur mechaper l'shavim. The Rambam calls it zman tshuva. It's a time of repentance. That's why, even though it's there's no specific time to do tshuva, you could do it year round. But because it's a zman tshuva le'yochid ul'rabim, the Rambam writes in the second perek of Hilchos Tshuva. Therefore, chayovim kol beis Yisrael lachzor b'tshuva v'lisvaros b'yom kippurim. Because even though tshuva is not a mitzvah saseh zman groma, it's year round. It's like women are chayv and tshuva, but he says since it's zman tshuva, it's tshuva time. So mitzad the energy of the day, even though you could do tshuva anytime, you have to do tshuva today because it's zman tshuva. That's how the Rambam qualifies the Yom Kippur. Zman tshuva vuketz mechila v'slicha l'Yisrael. And he adds a little piece of poetry that actually makes it into the addition that we add in Ne'ilah. Ketz, slicha, u'mechila. Right, it's an edge. It's an edge of forgiveness. We have to start with that little piece of poetic phrase. It's the edge of forgiveness. And therefore, we have to do tshuva on this day. So we have to understand, what the energy of Yom Kippur is, how it's something that has a common root with tshuva. And if you celebrate Yom Kippur, you have to do tshuva. That's what the Rambam is saying. If you're celebrating Yom Kippur, so coming with celebrating Yom Kippur is to do tshuva. So we'll try to delve into this by looking into some of the hallmark special halachas that Yom Kippur has. I mean, aside from the fast, obviously. But one thing about Yom Kippur that's different about year-round is that the phrase, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed, of the Shema, year-round we whisper it. Yom Kippur, we say it out loud. Now we have to understand why that is. What has changed. And it's only on Yom Kippur and Motzei Yom Kippur after you've been cleansed, you've been clean, then you can't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus out loud anymore. Right? Going into Yom Kippur and you just ate, right? And you haven't gone through Yom Kippur, you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus out loud. You leave Yom Kippur cleansed, can't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus out loud in Marav Motzei Yom Kippur. It's very interesting. So it's obviously something unique to the energy of the day. That's one thing to take note of. Now now in the Avodas HaKorbonos that there was, Bizman Shem Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, there's something very special about Yom Kippur, and it's so special that, interestingly enough, the Torah would not put the Avodas Yom HaKippurim in the same places, in the same parshiot, where it puts the Avoda of Korbonos, the Avoda of Kochim, of the other Chagim. We know that the mitzvahs of the other chagim, right, the mitzvahs hayom, the regular mitzvahs hayom, of like, let's say, shaking lulav on sukkahs, right? All those mitzvahs of like what you do on the day, that's all in Parshas Emor, right? And the musafim, right, the additional supplemental sacrifices, for which we have korban musaf, and that's why we have tefillas musaf, that's all in Parshas Pinchas, right? So, and the Torah, the special avoda of Yom HaKippurim is not there and not there. The avoda of Yom HaKippurim is Parshas Achrei Mos. And that's something amazing to take note of. I mean, something about avoda of Yom HaKippurim, it's not regular musafim, right, what goes on. Now, of course, the musafim of Yom Kippur is mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. That means the special avodot, of the Ktores Lifnai V'Lifnim, and the more peculiar avoda of Seir HaMishtalech, right, the scapegoat. Those things are in their own parsha, not in the parsha of Moedim at all, in Parshas Achrei Mos, all said in the context of Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron B'Korvos of Bnei Hashem Vayamusu, right, all in that context of after the death of the Shnei Bnei Aaron, we're taught the special Avod of Yom HaKippurim, which is something that's in a geder of its own, not like the regular Avodas HaKochim of the other Chagim. And it's, in its own place in the Torah, not near anything else. And that's, Halo Dover, it's something to really think about. So we will talk about the Avoda Lifnai V'Lifnim. We'll just throw out one question that the Yerushalmi raises. And that is, you know, if you says, you know, you take the psukim literally, it says, Al Yavo B'chol Eis El HaKodesh, can't come anytime to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Right, but the, you know, that's one thing to take note of. Al yovo b'choles, and so isn't Yom Kippur one of the itim? Right, but then there's also b'chol adam lo yeh b'ol moed. Right, no person should be in ol moed when Aaron goes. But so Aaron's an adam also, asked the Yerushalmi. Right, so the Yerushalmi answers regarding that particular question. Right, that well, he's not on the madrega of an adam when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's on the madrega of a malach. Right, and that has something to do with us also, as we're going to explain. Even though he's the one who has this unbelievable transcendental experience, and that's why he could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But Am Yisrael is affected by this also. And we're going to get back to that. But what I want to point out is, you know, this the more peculiar and harder to understand Avoda on Yom HaKippurim in this special parsha of Achrei Mos is the Seir HaMishtaleach. So now everyone knows what you know, the Rishonim say. That, well, let's just say it bluntly, that if not for the fact that the Torah would have commanded us to do Seir HaMishtaleach black on white, it would be categorically hands down usur as Avodah Zarah Mamish. It is technically, if not for the fact that the Torah commanded us to do it, it's technically a carbon to the Satan. Right? We are giving the Sitra, we say, yo, this is your portion, take it. It's Mamish, you know, if not for the fact that the Torah told us to do it, it's Mamish, as it were, to be Makriv, right? To the Sitra Achra, to give an offering to the Sitra Achra to the other side, right? And we have to understand. Now, of course, it's the reason why it's mutzah is because the Torah specifically asked for it. It's not something that we'd ever allow to decide is the right thing to do on our own. So we have to understand what's up with the Seir HaMishtaleach. What's up? Now the whole circumstance behind the mitzvah, leading up to the mitzvah Seir HaMishtaleach, also, you know, it's not just one seir; it's two. Right, and they have to be shavim bekomasan ubemareim. The two seerim have to look identical. Right,
and one to Azazel, one to Azazel.
Right, that's right. It's not one seer. It's really the avod is really with two seerim. There's the seer hanase bifnim, and its dam, you know, also goes in lifnai v'lifnim. Right, there's the seer hanase bifnim. There's la Hashem, and there's la Azazel. Right, so we have, it's interesting. We need two of them, and they have to look identical. They got to look identical. Right, and then and the way we choose, you know, generally in Kachim, you consecrate, you know, and you're Makdish one to be a carbon, and the other one, you know, you would think also you would declare it as a Seir LaAzazel. It's not how it works. It's a Geirel, right? It's a lottery. It's not a conscious choice, you know, that the coin that should actually, you know, say this one is La Hashem and this one is LaAzazel. It has to be Al Pi HaGeirel. It has to be by draw lots. Right, which is a departure from the general halachas and kachim that a person has to be magdish and be koreshem on his carbon. Over here, you have to do it al pi agoro. Now you can't do it yourself. Right? And we have to understand what all of this, you know, all of this means, because this is undoubtedly, you know, what makes the day so powerful and so special. So to enter this discussion, I want to read you a medrash. In Parshas Bereishis, it is in Parsha Gimel, Oisches, and this is these are midrashim on the creation of light on the first day of creation when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Yehi Or. Amar Rav Yanai, so says Rav Yanai, Mitchilas Briyoso Shel Olam Tzipa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maasem Shel Tzadikim UMaasem Shel Shoyim. God foresaw at the time of creation. He foresaw. Now we'll discuss what that means in a second. What that means, he foresaw all the maisim of the tzaddikim and all the maisim of the rishayim. Voratoisa tova vohu elu maaseim shol rishayim. Right. So the land, you know, that the earth was shapeless and formless. That alludes to maaseim shol rishayim. Vayon kim yehi or elu maaseim tzaddikim. God said, "Let there be light." That refers to the maasim of the tzaddikim. Vayavd Elokim ben or ben achoshech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the light and darkness, ben maasem shel tzadikim l'maasem shel rishayim. He separated the two. We'll discuss what that means in a second. Now, just like he separated light and darkness, he also separated the Maaseh HaTzadikim from the Maaseh HaRashayim. Vayikra Elokim La'or Yoyim, of course we'll call the Or Day, Elu Maaseh Mishal Tzadikim. V'lachoshech Korah Laila, and to the darkness he called night, Elu Maaseh Mishal Rashayim, these are the deeds of the wicked. Vayi Erev, Elu Maaseh Mishal Rashayim, it was night, it was Maaseh HaRashayim. Vayi Boker, Elu Maaseh Mishal Tzadikim. Yoyim Echad. Shenosalem Makarish Baruch Hu Yoyim Echad. Vezezeh Yom HaKippurim. Day one. Because there's one day a year that Tzaddik and Rosh have, and that's Yom Kippur.
Can you say the last phrase over there? After
Vayi Boker Elu Maaseh Mishal Tzadikim. Yom Echad. Shenosalem Makarish Baruch Hu Yom Echad. Vezezeh Yom HaKippurim. That's what it's saying. There's a day, not Yom Rishon. I was in Medrash, is bothered why he doesn't say Yom Rishon. It's a question all the Mefarshim ask. So the Medrash approaches, no, there's a day of oneness. It's the one day for Tzadikim and Rishayim, and that's Yom Kippur. Right? there is another Lushan in the Medrash that on the question, Yom Echad, why not Yom Rishon? Right, Shaya Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yachid BaOlamo. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was alone in the world, you know, because nothing else really came into existence yet. It was just the potential, you know, but there's no actual creations on the, you know, till further down the line. And these two definitely interrelate, as we're going to explain. Right, so now just to try to begin to decode the Medrash, Hakadosh Baruch Hu foresaw the deeds of the Rishayim and the deeds of Tzadikim. And he separated the two. Okay, so now, if God didn't create it, it can't exist. Right? So anything that happens, if God didn't create it, it wouldn't happen. Right? So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us all the possibilities. Right? There's only one creator. There's only one God. Right? So, you know, the evil, you know, wherever it came from, there's no other God. So the one God created it, right? So now that means, of course, even though we have free will, right, but the options that we have, you know, to choose between, right, and they're not just one option. There's like many, many, you know, God foresaw and encoded in destiny all the different possibilities, because if God didn't create it, it can't exist. Right? So, of course, you know, a lot of these possibilities could remain, you know, theoretical and potential possibilities. Like the timeline could unfold in many different ways. Right? There are only certain givens that, you know, there has to be Mashiach. You know, there has to be a Matan Torah. There has to be a Mashiach. There has to be a Tchias HaMesim. There's a definite, you know, end game, end goal. Right? But the ways to get there are numerous and diverse. Right? There could be the easy path, or it could be the hard path. Right? You know, if people choose good, there's obviously that's the easiest way to get to the end of destiny. People choose bad, we'll wind up there also, just it's going to be the bumpy road. Right? But if God didn't create it, it can't be. So if there's any option, any possibility, you know, it has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. Right? So now, you know, now it doesn't mean, you know, now everyone knows that the two are, you know, even though they're all created by God, they're in a oppositional relationship, right? It's a seesaw. When the good triumphs, the evil's down. Evil triumphs, God forbid, the good is down, right? You know, these things, you know, even though they're all created by God, all the possibilities, but he put the good and the evil in a oppositional relationship, right? So that's what it means. Vayavdel kim ben ha'or uben ha'choshech. You know, just like you separate between light and dark, the two do not coexist, right? They're on two opposite sides of the day, right? Same thing also. I mean, listen, if you choose bad, you're pushing down good, right? You choose good, so you're not only raising up the good, but you're also pushing out down. It's a seesaw. That means the two do not coexist. You don't have the good and the bad together, you know, together in unity. You don't have it together in unity. They're two different sides, right? And they're in an oppositional relationship. If you're going to choose the good, right, then you're pushing down the bad. You're going to choose the bad, Right? You're also pushing down the good like a seesaw. What Kohelis says, Ze l'umas ze asa Elokim. One opposing to the other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, and that's what the Medrash means. Vayavdoki ben HaKoshech, right, that, you know, he created everything. It's tzipa this, it's tzipa that. He foresaw all the possibilities that man could choose between, right? We need, even though we have free will, but we need options to choose between. And that's what it means. He foresaw all the different possibilities of good choices, all the different possibilities of bad choices, and these things are not the same, right? They're in an opposition relationship, just like night and day. You know, if there's light, it's not dark. If it's dark, it's not light. This is like, of course, it was Mavdil, that Or and Choshech are not Meshamesh Be'irvuvia. Can't be light and dark at the same time. Can't be good and evil at the same time. If you're doing something bad, right, you're not doing something good. Right? You know, at least, you know, regarding that issue, whatever you chose that's bad is going to push down what could have been good about it. Right? The good and bad do not... They are mutually exclusive. There you are. A seesaw. Right? Right. Okay. So the good is the good and the evil is evil. They're not the same thing. God created them both, but they're not the same thing. And they're in an oppositional, you know, kzeh kom zeh nofel, seesaw. It's like the difference between day and night. If it's light, it's not dark. If it's dark, it's not light. Right? The two cannot coexist. So now comes the question. Are they equally as real? That's the question. And we actually, we discussed this once and maybe even twice on other occasions. Right? So God created them both, right? And God, you know, gave each one its turf, as it were. Right? You know, the evil's got its turf, and we call it the Sitra Achra, the other side. That's it. It's a seesaw. The universe set up is a seesaw. There's the Sitra de Kedusha, the side of Kedusha. There's a Sitra Achra. There's the other side. Right? So now,
just by saying the word "other side" means that you're already, you have to go there,
right? Okay. Well, it's like, you know, it's the restaurant you eat in, it's the restaurant you don't eat in, right?
The same, the very terminology indicates which one is primary.
Right, so. Primary is the side that you're on. The other side is the
right. No.
Okay, so if you want to say they're equal, they're not.
Oh.
So the very terminology indicates that they're not equal.
Right. So now, this is the big question, right? Is the evil just as real as the good? Now that's the frightening question, right?
That's a question you ask yourself a lot. What's the difference between someone who's, you know, misguided or sick or this, or if they're evil? I mean, sometimes it's the same thing, but splitting hairs. That's one of the ultimate questions.
No, so the question goes, looking at life, there's the good things, there's the bad things, there's the brachas and the klolos, and we spoke a little bit about this and by Parshas Kisavo. There's in life, but there's also in the individual. We do some good stuff. We do some stuff that's not so good. It's like split personalities, you know. Yetzer tov, yetzer ra, right? Are all my decisions equally the real me? The good decisions that I make and the bad decisions, are they all equally the real me? Right, that's the personal question about this. You know, there's the cosmic question, there's the personal question about relating to yourself. You know, all the bad things that I do, God forbid, right, are they just as real as the good things that I do? Are my bad choices just as much an expression of who I am as the good choices that I make? Right? And this is what, you know, what the Medrash is ending off, saying Dover Nifla mode, Yom Echad. So now we know, you know, that in the future, you know, term echad, you know, turns up a lot. As a matter of fact, in our tefillos and yom noraim, bayomu yashem echad ushmo echad, right? We talk about Hashem will be one and His name will be one. Oh, what are you talking about? You know, well, what's different in the future that's not true now already? Nah, because, you know, He's not echad. And I'll tell you why. He Himself is echad, but, you know, but from our vantage point, seemingly not. Because He wants the good, right? And there's a lot of evil going around. You know, so we said, there's the Sitra Achra, the other side. So of course, you know, God may have created it, but he made it very clear, he wants this one, he doesn't want that one, right? But the one that he doesn't want seems to be, you know, running rampant, right? And it's as if, you know, what he wants is not the only one will that there is. Right? And that's what, you know, the Hashem Echad, like only one real power, Ushmo Echad, his name will be one. So the Mekubon point out that the term Shmo, you know, the word Shmo is Gematria Ratzon. Right? Ratzon. You know, so when we say in the future Hashem will be one and his name will be one, means that not only will everyone recognize there's only one real power, but also what he wants, Shmo, means Ratzono, right? What he wants will be the only thing that happens. Because right now he said he desires us, Ubacharta Bachayim, even though he says, I gave you both, I created everything. I created Yotzor, Borei Choshech, Ose Shalom, Borei Ra, Ani Hashem Ose Kol Eila. And he told us in Parshas Nitzavim, that he but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ubacharta Bachayim, but I'm telling you, choose life. I created everything, but I want this. And he's not getting what he wants. He's not getting what he wants, as if, the way, they would explain it in outside of Judaism, they would say, originally there's only one first cause. Philosophically, they're proof that there's only one first cause, one unmoved mover, right? But, you know, he made stuff that rebels against him. So there's one creator, but he made stuff that doesn't do what he wants, right? Like a man who has free will, there's also certain forces. So we know in the future that's not going to be the case. It'll be plainly apparent. Hashem Echad, there's only one God. Ushmo Echad, and his Ratzon is the only Ratzon, right? Whatever he wants, he gets. Never will anything ever happen unless he wants it. And right now that's not clear, because seemingly the Ra, right, the evil that he doesn't want, right, seems to happen a lot, seemingly. Seemingly. All right. So now you have to realize something. The ability for, you know, to rebel against God, you know, to turn against him, you need space. You need space to do that. All right? Because to turn away, you need the space to be able to turn away. You understand that? So now on the first day of creation, I want to go back to that Lashon of the Medrash that says Yom Echad means Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yachid Ba'olamo. Right? Even though the potential for all life was created already, Bereshis Baruch Hu Esar Shamayim Ve'Esa'aretz. So like the Mefarshim explained, that, you know, Shamayim is all the potential for the spiritual, and Oretz is all the potential for all the physical, and, you know, the next 9 Ma'amarot of Ayom HaKim Yehi is going from potential to actual. All the potential is created already on the first day, but still called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yachid Ba'olamo. So the Sod Yesharim from Radzin explains, because on the first day of creation, everything's underwater. God didn't split the water until the second day. Right? So when everything's equally underwater, there's no sense of space, open space. Right? That starts on Yom HaSheni, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim, V'Yimavdu Ben Mayim L'Mayim. And on that second day, it doesn't say Tov. That's the one day of Ma'aseh Bereishit, doesn't say Tov, because all the potential for evil was created then. That's what Chazal say, Machlokas was created, and Gehenim was created. All the bad stuff was created on the second day. Meaning to say why? Because God created the illusion of open space. And now you can either turn towards or turn away. Now there's a sense of sides, two different sides. The side of Kedusha, the side of the Sitra Achra. On the first day of creation, there's no sides. Everything's equally underwater. There's no concept of right, left, up, down. So even though there's a potential for all life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, going to create during the rest of the Genesis, but it's not called that there's anything other, because nothing that exists has the potential to move away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. because everything's equally underwater. There's no sense of right, left, up, down. There's like no open space. I'm moving away from God. There's no open space. Everything's equally underwater. Right, and this is part of the what the Sfarim say is part of what a person should be mechaven when he goes underwater in the mikveh, as the Rishonim say, right, that you know, underwater there's no right, left, up, down, right, everything is, you know, you're in front of God, right, and you have no independent existence, so it's like you dissolved there underwater, the bad you like dissolved, right, and when you come out, you're like a Bria Chadasha. Right, and like fitting like the Medayik and the Rambam, that the Tara from the mikveh is the coming out of the mikveh. Because in the going in, you're just dissolving yourself there. The sense that you were like a separate entity, and that's what it means to be Tamei, right, to be impure. I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, Zichrono Livracha, that the root of the word Tamei, right, is the root of the word is Tam, Tetmem, which means what? It means sealed off. It means like Tum-Tum, like Tamun. Right, hatmana, right, all these things, you know, means sealed, right, you were cut off. And that's why the Tameh is Badad Yeshev, he's cut off, he can't, depending on his level of Tumah, can't go to the Beis HaMikdash or can't interact with his wife, or, you know, the Tumah, you know, seals things off. Right, to have something sealed off is like a concept of separate space, right, underwater there's no separate space. Underwater, there's no separate identity. Water just, water, there's no sense of space underwater, right? Of right, left, up, down. There's no difference, right? There's no sense of anything having individual identity. Water just dissolves everything. And that's what the Rishonim say is the Kavonas HaMikvah. When you go to the mikveh, you dissolve there. That's why when you come out, you're a Bria Chadosha. Right? The whole world on day one is underwater. So even though there's all the potential for all of existence, it's still Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yochid Ba'olamo. It's still oneness. There's still oneness because there's no room for anything to be separated from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There's no room for anything to move away from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly no room for anything to rebel against Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So on this first day, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Yochid Ba'olamo, and that's the way it's going to be in the future, B'emui Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, just the advantage of the future, right, is that everything will be fully in actual existence and still feel, right? You know, feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and feel how everything is here, you know, to serve him and does serve him, right? And that's going to be the milah of the future over the past. The past was when everything was just in potential, so was HaKadosh Yochi Bo'olamo, the big chiddush of the future. Everything will have its own actual existence and feel the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless. That's the big advantage that we're going to have in after Ketz Hayomim, and we're going to get back to that lashon after Ketz Hayomim, right? After we get over the edge of, you know, this time when we were granted space to either move towards God or move away from God. Right? And now this is, you know, the challenge that we have, during the 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh. Right, that's our challenge is ubacharta b'chaim. Right, HaKadosh says, I give before you, achaim v'tov v'mavis v'ra, choose life. Right, we live in a world where there's the illusion that there's two different sides to the issue. There's the good and the evil, especially if you take into account that God created the evil, right? Didn't make itself. Right, and so it's as if there are two sides to the issue, and that's our big you know, challenge to choose good and to negate evil. Right? But that challenge is only during the 6,000 years of this world. We're going to get out of that field that allows for this illusion, and you know when we get out of that field, we get into the world of Olam Haba, Ayom Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, where we only see the good and we see that the evil was an illusion, doesn't really exist. Right? It was just there to give us a job, that we should choose good and negate evil. And that's the reason why we have free will. We have free will. That's our challenge, that we're given free will. We have to choose the good over the evil. But sometimes we fail and we choose the evil. But it's all temporary, just for the 6,000 years. Then there comes the world where it's over. And it's Hayom La'asosim, but Machar, and the world of tomorrow, L'kabel Sarim. And there's in the world of L'kabel Sarim, there is no more evil, because that would just dampen and ruin it. It has to be a world that's kulotov because it's the world of reward. But the problem is, you know, what happens when you fail? Right? The failure. So now we do know, right, that the time period when you could fail, that's temporary. That's only the 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh. Right, which could also be cut short if we get our act together and we hasten the coming of Mashiach. It doesn't have to last the whole 6,000 years, but you know, we know that that's, you know, the maximum it could last. Right? So we know that, you know, cosmically speaking, you know, the evil is just temporary. Right? But the question is, what about me? Me. I did evil. Right? So now, if you know, so maybe it sticks to me, and I'm not going to make it to the future. So there's going to be, cosmically, in the future, there's only going to be good and no evil, but will I be there? Because of all the bad things that I've done. Maybe, you know, my game will be over, right, at the end of the 6,000 years. And that's exactly what we believe for regarding all those nations that build themselves on evil, right? That's why, you know, they're counting on it. They're relying on it, right? They count on their money. They count on their power. They don't believe in God, right? They count on their military power, their influence, whatever. They're not going to be around in the future. That's what we allude to. There's one thing, that's another thing. It's called Echad. What else is called Echad? Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. There's Ata Echad. V'Shimcha Echad. That's Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. There's another Echad. Come on, guys. Everyone sleeps through Shabbos afternoon. I see that already. Right? Why are we called the one nation? Because in the truth, in that world of Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, we see that God is the one and only. There's only one nation that's going to be there. Just us. Right? It's talking about the future. That in that world of Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Because in a world that's going to reveal that there's only the good, right, and there's only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, there's only one nation that's built, their whole ethos is built on that idea, Am Yisrael. All those other nations that build them up, we got oil, we got money, we got military power, right? We don't need God. They're not going to be there, right? Because the space that they were given is going to close at the end of the 6,000 years. Right? And that's what it means. The future is referred to as Keitz HaYomim. It's called the edge. Right? You have to realize the whole life in Olam Hazeh, which allows seemingly for the dual existence of, just like night and day, also Ma'asem Shel Tzadikim, Ma'aser Shraim, it's a box. And the box is 6,000 years long at maximum. When you pass over the edge, it's over. It has a Keitz, it has a Katzeh, it has an edge to it. It's all temporary. Right? Keitz HaYomim is we cross, it's called Keitz HaYomim, the edge of days, right? We cross out, we leave the box. We're over the edge. Yes? All right, so the Goyim that observes Shavu Mitzvah Noach, the Ramchal in the Derech Hashem says that they don't have a separate sense of nationality in Olam Haba. There's only one nation, and they are appendages onto Am Yisrael. He calls them like clothes, right? Like they'll be like the clothes that Am Yisrael wears. That's what he writes in the Derech Hashem, Chelek Sheni Perek Revi. Right? There's only one nation in Olam Haba, and the righteous Gentiles join us. There's only one nation, because the other nations build their whole ethos is built on God. What?
There's
right.
A nation that is not a godly nation, nationality. It's like makeup. Right.
Does each individual need to be good in order to be part of that nation, or does the nation need to be good?
Yeah.
Because if it's all one, does each individual need to be good?
For what?
To be, there's only one nation, so therefore there's no individual. Okay, if you think about it, right?
There's one nation, but the nation is made up of individuals.
Yeah, but so therefore is the nation that needs to be good?
Yeah, so he's asking good. I mean, by Klal Yisrael, there's a concept that you get bailed out by the Tzibur. That's correct. No, so that's correct. But you're saying very good. Right? But that's only by Klal Yisrael, that our nationhood is something holy. Right? Their whole concept of nationhood is something secular. You're not going to have a concept that a guy gets, he's going to go agav his nation to Olam Haba, because their whole national ethos is, you know, by them it's just the opposite. They're going to have to leave their nation. Even the Hasidim Muslim, they never actually convert. They have to leave that nation, you know, and they're considered appendages to Am Yisrael in the next world. Right. But no, but Am Yisrael, that our national ethos is built on that, you know, Ushmenu Karasa Bishmecha, right? Ritzoneinu Lasozon. So there is a concept that the Yechidim get bailed out Agav the Schus of the Tzibur. That you know, but that's by our sense of Tzibur, because our national ethos is built on, you know, Ratzon Hashem. Their whole national ethos is that not, right? We don't need God. You know, the nation, you know.
Right, in other words, you said, well, that's why Yom Kippur is a day of Achdus.
That's right, exactly, and we're getting to that. We're getting to that. So so now we come to the idea of tshuva. You know, the concept of tshuva and the concept of Yom Kippur, we're going to explain how they have the same spiritual root, and that's why the Rambam says, if you celebrate Yom Kippur, you have to do tshuva. Right, it's man tshuva, right? Right, the concept of tshuva, the tremendous chesed, going back about me, right? Me, you know, but I chose bad, so maybe I'm leaving myself in the box of the 6,000 years. I'm not going to make it over the edge, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tremendous chesed of tshuva. So now, how does tshuva work? Right? You say you regret what you did wrong, but it happened already. All right, so the Mesillas Yesharim tells us, Akiras Rotzen, Kakiras Maiseh, Kehataras Nedarim, which is a secret. One of the reasons I say we open up Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, because it says in Mesillas Yesharim, it's based on, you know, that Tshuva works on the same principle as Heter Nedarim. Right? Right? That the Heter Nedarim, you regret making the neder, and if I would have never done it if I would have known then what I know now. So tshuva, says the Mesillas Yesharim, works on the same idea. I regret having
undone retroactively.
It's like a neder.
Retroactively,
like the neder. That right now we look at the neder retroactively as been made by mistake. That's the way we look at it. Avinosov Nasis Kishkogas, if you do tshuva meira. You do tshuva me'ava, it's avonosav nasav kishchuyas, right? But minimally kishkagos, it's like a mistake, like hataras nedarim, that you know the chacham shows retroactively the whole thing was a toast, right? The whole thing was a mistake, right? So now,
where does
Ramchal say this? He writes in Mesillas Yesharim in Zehirus, right? They said that.
Yeah, that's where we start off Yom Kippur.
That's a knach. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik says that. You know. But it's based on this Mesillas Yesharim. I believe he invokes the Mesillas Yesharim. But let's think about that for a second, a little bit. That you did something wrong. Like you understand, this is a quantum leap, right? Because a neder, it's just words, right? I didn't mean it. So it's easier to understand when it's just words and it's just a commitment, right? So we could say, I made that commitment under false pretenses. Got it, right? But we say it works by tshuva also. But the chet, it's not just words that came out of your mouth. You did something. There was physical reality. Right, you ate pork, God forbid, or whatever you did. You stole whatever. It's a maisa. It's a maisa. Now, who cares what you were thinking? Right? It happened already. Right? It's something that happened physically. It's not just a neder, it's just a commitment. All right, I see, I didn't really mean it. I wasn't really, really committed. Fine. Right? It makes sense. Right? But to apply that to tshuva, you understand, it's a quantum leap forward. Right? That even something that physically happened, historical fact, this actually transpired, because I don't associate with it anymore, it's as if it didn't happen. How does that work? Right. It has to be, there's only one answer. Right? It has to be that the evil that I did is not real like the good that I did. It's not really real. And that's why disassociation from it, right, is really good enough. And this goes back to what we said. Made all the possibilities possible. If God didn't make it possible, it wouldn't exist. There's a Gemara in Yuma, right, in the Sugya of Tshuva, that says a very cryptic thing. The pasuk says, if your sin will be red, right, kashelig yalbinu, right, says the Gemara, very cryptic. Im yuchatechem kashonim halalu shesduros ubos misheshes yemei breshes. Your sins are like years, shanim, like years, that have already been pre-arranged from the time of Maisa Breshes. Shad is like this. It has to do with what the Medrash that we learned, right? Anything that ever happened, if God didn't want it to happen, it couldn't happen. Now, it's true, you didn't have to choose it, because there are multiple possibilities. God makes millions of, ain't self possibilities for how destiny can unfold, right? And free will is, which timeline, possible timeline to actually walk down. And, you have to pay for your choices, because you could have had a better history, and you chose this way as opposed to that way. You chose this path or this path, but all different pathways and destiny are all made by the Ribbono Shel Olam. You understand? Sometimes, now we don't know what's really possible and what's really not possible. Like sometimes you shoot and you hit. Sometimes you shoot and you miss. Sometimes you try to shoot and the gun jams, right? In all of the above, the person had intention to shoot and kill, right? Didn't always have the same result because we don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables to actually be possible or not possible. Right? We don't... But if it happened, the Ribbono Shel Olam made it possible. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. Right? But of course, it didn't only have to happen that way because God was mitzapeh. He foresaw multiple possibilities. Ma'asem shel tzadikim, ma'asem shel rasha'im. There's so many possibilities in destiny. And why'd you have to choose the bad ones? Right? You should have chosen the good ones. Because the good way was just as possible as the bad way, of the possibilities that God created. Right? But of course, there's some things that just simply aren't possible. We don't know the difference. We don't see the possibilities. Right?
You talk about the past, but Kol Nidre is all with the future. Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, you're talking about the future, not the past.
Right. Right, but... Right.
So for the sins for you that you're going to do in the future, that you're saying...
No. The correct nusach in Kol Nidre is Miyom Kippurim Sha'avar Ad Yom Kippurim Zeh. Right, that's an edge. Of course, then they were Mavato, were giving Moser Moda. Right, that's the correct Nusach.
The main part is for the past, though.
The main part, and not all the Machzorim have it. It's not, it needs, and the Nuschot Meduyakot is Miyom Kippurim Shavar and Yom Kippurim Zeh. Miyom Kippurim Zeh. And in the correct Machzorim.
It says the word.
Miyom Kippurim Shavar. I mean, in the Nuschos Meduyakot. So now here's the thing, right? From his perspective, his will is always done, right? Because there's no sense doing anything he doesn't want. Right? So even the bad things that you choose, it's going to serve his purpose. But since you chose to do it that way, not only you're not going to get rewarded, because it's not what he told you to do, right? But you're also going to get punished, because it's what he told you not to do. But his will gets done, right? Because there's no such thing as doing anything against his will. Right? Anything that ever happens under the sun is only because the Ribbono Shel Olam enables it to happen. Right? But you could have done other stuff also, but you chose these possibilities, so you could be sure that his will gets done, right? But you're not going to get paid for it, because it's not what he told you to do. Now that you're going to get punished for it, because you also actually transgressed and did what he told you not to do. But if it happened, you could be sure, something good ultimately will happen at the end.
But it's almost very simplistic.
If you only do good, then you to do better, you got to do very good. Okay? If you do, and therefore, if the goal is to get closer to Hashem, the only way to get closer to Hashem is changing the bad to the good. Changing the good to the very good says you can go back to the good because it's still not bad. I don't know if that made any sense. But
okay, but so now we're talking about it. Now, the truth is like this. So we say, if you do tshuva me'ava, av nosu nasu kischuyas. How does that work? Right? Well, the answer is like this. Because the truth is like this. Right? Whatever happens is the Ribbono Shel Olam's will. Right? Just you don't get paid for it if that's not what he told you to do. And you're going to get punished for it if you went against your instructions. But you can't outsmart him. Whatever he wants happens. Right? So, what's bad about it is the perception, right? Is the perception that it's against God's will. That's what's bad about it, right? And that's also your bad choice. You chose it not because it's what God wants, you chose it because it's what you wanted against his will. So it's sort of a whole perception that there is cosmically, right? And in your own psyche, that's what's evil about it. But the actual thing that happened, right? Mitzido, from the way he sees things, there's only one thing, his will. So the way he sees things, and he's out of the box. We're in the box, right? We're in that box of 6,000 years. We're in that box that was actually created by the splitting of the waters. So in our box, right, we see the good and the evil, and I went to the bad side, and it's 0.1 for bad team, right? But if you're out of that box, you're not in that box. You're out of that box. There's no two sides to the issue. There's only his will. And you have a guy who thinks he's doing bad, right? And you're picking an option. But all options, Mitzido Yisbrach, all options lead to where he wants the universe to go. Right? Just you chose an option he didn't want you to choose. But if the option exists, he created it. Right? Anything that is chosen ultimately will serve God's will. Just the Russia who chose it with evil intent is not going to get paid for it. He'll even get punished for it. Right? But if it happened, it means that God, he has his plans. But those are his plans. It's none of your business. Right? You have to do what you're told. Right? But as I said, that the perception that there is the evil versus the good, that's only if you're in the box. The in the box that was created on the second day of creation when God split the waters and created the perception of open space. And there could be a right side and a wrong side, right? Two different sides, or more than two sides, right? But when everything's equally underwater, there's no two sides issue. When you're out of the box of space as we know it, right? You only see good, right? But we're in the box. We're not out of the box, and it's not none of our business that whatever happens ultimately, serves God. That's none of our business. We have to do keep halacha. We have to obey our orders, right? And we suffer if we don't. We pay for it. We get schar if we do what we're told, and we get onish if we do go against what we're told. But even if we go against what we're told, there's no hurting God. You can't hurt him. Right? You can't hurt him. You can't deter his omnipotent will. But since you're doing what you weren't told, you're going to get punished for it. But from where he is, from his side of the way he sees things, there's only tov. For us, there's Tov and Ra. Right? We're in that box. Right? Right. Am I being clear? Right. So in tshuva, right? In tshuva, right? Right. So you understand, how it works is that in tshuva we are leaving the box. Right. The box that we're in is the world of our choices. Right. And you're stuck with your choices. Right? Ben Shapiro always says, people are poor because they make bad choices. And nothing to do with the color of their skin. Right? Right. That's our world. Our reality is the world of our choices. That's our reality, is the world of our choices. And you have to live with the consequence wherever you chose. Right? And that's our perception of reality, and that's physical reality as far as we're concerned, right? But then there's what's outside, beyond the world of our choices, right? Beyond that box, where it's God's will always being done. He created a complex destiny, but all roads lead to what he wants. Just he wanted you to choose road A, B, and C, and not roads X, Y, and Z. But from where he's standing, all roads lead to what he wants, right? And now the fact that there's a difference between these roads, you know, that's in our perception. That's in our perception, and you're going to get paid for
and
what
you think like that, though, it might not make you want to really do some tshuva.
No, so the chesed of tshuva...
Because all roads are leading to where he wants. If that's the assumption that you're going to live by, then you have to assume that he maybe really doesn't want that.
Yeah. So now what happens in tshuva is that we are actually leaving the box, right? And it's legit. I say I regret and I disassociate myself from that bad choice. I mean, you're declaring the bad choice as being not real. Well, it's certainly not the real me. That's not what I really wanted. And that works. Why does that work? Right? Because the truth is, you know, the evilness of the evil is only by our perception. Right? Mitzido Yisborach, his deeds or whatever, his will is always being done. But God's will is always being done. Yotzor avore choshech ose shalom ubore ra ani Hashem ose kolela, the Navi says. Right? There's no two domains. Everything that happens is, but I didn't give you that, you know, you did my bidding, but I didn't tell you to do that. So you're not getting paid. Now that, if it's against halacha, you're getting punished. But if it happened, it means that, you know, it served God's will. Because if it doesn't serve God's will, it can't happen. Right? But you chose wrong, right? You chose evil. You got to pay for that choice. But the Indian of tshuva is that, you know, that what it means, I could disassociate from my bad choice, right? That means that I'm climbing beyond the world of choices, right? And I'm going to that world of where it is all good, right? And it's legit because I'm really, really regret the bad choice.
And that's God's will.
What?
That's God's will, that you do tshuva. Just like you did bad,
right.
It's his will that you do tshuva too.
It's his will you do tshuva. That is correct. Yeah, but the guy who refuses to do tshuva, that'll serve God's purposes just fine. But he's going. Yeah, but he's not taking advantage, right? Right. Whatever happens under the sun, you know, is all God's will, right?
It's
but
a question of benefit to the individual.
Absolutely. And you can't deplete God's world. You can't. You know, it's his world, right? You can't rebel against God. Right? You could choose against God's will. But that's your choice. Doesn't mean that you will, in effect, dethrone God. You can't dethrone God. He's invincible. He's omnipotent. Right? But you get paid for your choices. You get paid for your choices. And you get punished for your choices. Right? The chesed of tshuva is to get beyond your choices. Right? Say, you know, and that's legit. Right? It works. That having real regret and I don't want to... I really, really, if I could do it again, I would choose otherwise, right? If I could do it again, I would choose otherwise. That is legit because the whole evilness of what you've done wrong is purely that perception that you were rebelling against the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
So for example, you stole $100 from somebody.
Yes.
So in other words, now this guy's out $100.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So, they talk about the first half. $100.
Well, right, and then you're chayv to do tshuva, and you're chayv to do tshuva. The Rambam says, if you even after even if you're mishalim mashu chayav lo, you know, lihisvadot v'loshuv milasos kozeh od. Right, it's not enough to just pay for it.
Right,
you because you chose evil. Now you have to say sorry and you have to confess. What? Yeah, so you're still better off if you tshuva than you don't do tshuva. Right, because you have to pay for the evil choice, and you have to pay.
Sandwich.
Right,
the ham sandwich.
Right, correct.
It's been eaten.
It's been
so
eaten.
How does your internal tshuva, which is in your mind and your heart, undo the sandwich that was in your stomach?
Because
the physical sandwich that was in your stomach.
Right, because what's evil about it, was the choice to do evil. Right? Or if it was Bishogeg, it was the negligence. Right? It was the negligence.
The sandwich is not really... What's significant about the sandwich is that it's the, it was against God's will. It's not the sandwich per se.
That's right.
But also, it's also a situation where you ate it. You were in a different state than when you made a...
It's nothing significant. Yeah.
When you ate it, you were in a different state of your personality. When you're doing tshuva, you're coming out with a new man. Not a man with a sandwich inside.
Right.
A man that doesn't have any more ability or ratzon or willingness to take the sandwich anymore, putting himself into the same position. This new man that arose, he will not do this sin again.
That's right. Now, one could ask even that question of the Ram says tshuva gemura. It's the tshuva gemura is it's the same woman, the same town, same feelings, right?
And you're the same age.
Right, everything, same age, correct? No, the Ram says he's right.
100%.
The Ram says it.
If you're on your deathbed, and you're not
going to. No. He means same vitality, same physical vitality.
You're a second holder, obviously.
Yes,
it also says that if you're
you have the same vitality,
same desire.
Say everything. And Pirush v'lo asa b'pnei atshuva. Right? So everyone asked the question, so if everything is exactly the same, so why is the result different? So if you went to the seminar, right, and then, you went to Arachim, and they brainwashed you, so it's not the same anymore. It's different. They did a job on my head. Right? They played with my mind. Yeah? So why taka does it work? How does it really happen? How is it that everything is exactly the same and still the result is different? How does that work? And that's called tshuva gemura. Pirush v'lo asa b'pnei atshuva. Right? So my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira, told us in Shir that the essence of tshuva is correcting your choices. And that's why the Rambam put his essay on free will in Hilchos Tshuva. Right? Because really, what's really wrong with the chet is having chosen evil. Right? How the maisa is ra, that's in a relative sense. Yeah, the maisa seemingly builds up the sitra achra. But what to do? That the whole sitra achra itself is an illusion. Right? Right? But what's bad about it for the individual that makes the individual a bad guy is that he's choosing evil. Your choices are reflection of who you are. Right? Tshuva is about, I don't choose that anymore. You change your bechira, that from now on you're not going to choose that anymore. And that's why the Rambam put his essay on bechira chofshis in Hilchos Tshuva, because it's all about choosing differently from now on. And that's, now you understand what the Rambam says. Tshuva gemura is if everything's exactly the same and you chose otherwise. That's tshuva gemura. That, you've changed your choices. Because all the stimulus and all the temptation is exactly the same, and you chose differently because you chose differently. Right? But here's the question. Now, so it makes perfect sense. That's the essence of choice, that I would never choose it again, and I could now disassociate from that original choice that I made, that's not the real me, or it's certainly not the new me, and you get schar as if it was never you, because you're not that way anymore. Right? But the question is, here's the question I'm raising. How did you get to that level that everything is the same and you don't succumb, but think everything's still the same? Right. So I'm asking a different question. What my Rebbe said.
Well,
right. My Rebbe. So my Rebbe posited that. So you see, tshuva gemura is all about that you changed your bechira because everything is exactly the same and you just choose different because you choose different. And that's the ikar of tshuva. The ikar of tshuva is to never choose that again.
You're not the same.
I was listening to Dr. David Lieberman, who gives shares on psychology, and he ties us in. He talks about people building self-esteem versus shame and embarrassment, etc. He says self-esteem, the biggest builder of self-esteem is making right choices. But tying that into the concept of tshuva, which means that I think our natural state is to do the right thing. And so when we don't do the right thing, it's not really us, and it produces this kind of discomfort or shame, based on making wrong choices. So by making right choices, it actually makes you feel better. It's going back to what your natural state should be, or the state of the world and your state of as a person should be.
Yeah, okay, all good and well, but I'm going about this critical point that you're in the same Nisayan, everything's the same, the result is different. Where'd you get that koach from? So now, if they brainwash you and they cause you to think that woman is repugnant, right? Okay. Wait a minute. So it's not the same. The Ram says the same Ava, same Medina, also Perek. Everything is identical. So why was the result Taka different? How did you Taka choose differently if everything is identical?
Not everything's identical. I mean, the circumstances are identical.
What?
It says the circumstances are identical. It doesn't say you're identical. You're obviously not identical, because that's why you're choosing differently.
You went out of the box.
Went out of the box. Right. The yesod is definitely there. They see that tshuva is all about changing your bechira, that you wouldn't choose it again. And that's the ikar problem that sticks to you, you know, that sticks to you for all eternity, that you got rid of, is that you chose it. Yeah, and that's what tshuva is, that, you know, you're undoing that choice by never choosing it again. But how do you reach that level of tshuva gemur that the Rambam described, that everything is identical and still, right? So on this, to supplement, you know, what my Rebbe taught me, something which I read in the writings of Rav Isaac Chover from the big Talmud of the Talmidei Agoin, right? That he says, because with tshuva, when you do tshuva, right, you get out of the box. And he says that's the side of B'mokom shebalei tshuva oimdim. Tzadikim gemurim einam yecholim la'amod. Tzadikim never have to leave the box, because they're doing great in their mechemes hayetzer.
But they're never in the box.
No, they're in the box, but they're navigating just fine, and they never got to get out of the box. Now, again, getting out of the box, you know, as Rav Isaac Chover points out, you know, you pay a heavy price to get out of the box, aside from the regret, you know, the charata. All right, but we know, and the Rambam brings this lahalacha in Hilchos Tshuva, is that you have to take on gedorim and siyogim. You have to take on chumras to be far away from what you did. The Rambam writes this also in Shmor Prakim, that which the Rambam say, you know, be on the middle road. Oh, that's for someone who hasn't sinned, right? You cross the line, you got to take safeguards. You have to be lifnim mishur sedin. What?
That's what Nazirus is, right?
Well, that's, Nazirus is a siyag, but the Rambam says in Halacha that the Baal Shem Misrachik
b'yoyser.
What?
As a general concept. In general, you don't ask for things that God permitted.
Right,
but it's
right,
a sign
right.
Of spiritual
so the Baal Tshuva does have to do that. So he's working hard. He's not getting this for free, right? With the charata that from the Omek Halev, and with the siyogim that he's taking on himself, right? In that, you know, and he has and is forever, as the Rambam's own pshat in B'makom Shetzarik Omdim is because they're kofed, they're yetzer more than the tzadikim, because you have to exhibit more restraint than the tzaddik, because the tzaddik was never toim tam chet, right? So you always saw it from afar and never went into it, right? And Baal Tshuva has to work a lot harder. But b'schus all that hard work and regret, he actually gets out of the box, right? He goes to mokom she tzaddikim gemur, mokom she Baal Tshuva omdim, right? Which is also the secret of Yom Kippur, the sphere of Bina. He goes all the way up there to the world of Yediya, God's foreknowledge, as opposed to the world of Bechira that we're in. Right? And that's a Lashon Ari, B'mokom Yediya Shamein Bechira. Right? Bechira's in the box. Right? And then there's the Yediya, right? That God, for him, he foresaw all the possibilities equally. Right? The Baal Tshuva goes up there, right? Goes up for a second, just for a second. When he does tshuva, he left the box, and now he could re-enter the box in this miraculous state that all the taivas could be the same, and still he'll choose differently, because he got out of the box for a second. He was bigger than self for a second. Bigger than self. Got out of the box. Was real for a second. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only, and that energized him. That now he could be under the exact same level of temptation and choose otherwise and still not succumb. Because for a second he got out.
But Yom Kippur,
right? But and that's the Mokom Shabali Tshuva Omdin.
But the Yom Kippur gives you the ability to choose tshuva.
but it doesn't ever.
No, it's more than that. It's a day of tshuva. We're going to discuss it.
Back in the same situation.
No, that's right. After Yom Kippur, you should not be the same. It's a zman tshuva that should be that after you go through a Yom Kippur, you'll never choose the same way again after you had this energizing experience. This is what happens on Yom Kippur, as we're trying to explain. Right? We get beyond our choices to the world that's beyond. We live in our world of choices, which is this box that's 6,000 years long. It has its katzeh, and it starts from the second day of creation when God split the waters. Right? You know, the world of our choices, as if there are choices, as if there's a ra and a tov. Right? And when you get out of that box, you see there's only tov. Right? And the ra was only there by your perception. Right? And in tshuva, right, God gives you a taste of that. And that's why it's legit that by disassociating yourself from your bad choice, you're putter from it. You taka cut your ties to it. Because for a second when you do tshuva, you get out from the world of choices. You go beyond the world of choices, right? In the source of tshuva, right? And that liberates you from that choice that you truly regret. As opposed, if God would have not given us the chesed of tshuva, there's no getting out of the box, and you have to live with your choices forever and ever and ever. Right, but we could get out. Right? We could get beyond. Right? And that's the cleansing experience. And because you could get beyond, that's what makes regretting that bad choice legit and really work to really, really separate you from that bad decision that doesn't relate to you anymore. Right? And that's what happens on Yom Kippur. I want to go now full circle. Right, to understand the power, the tremendous energy of the day, what happens over here. That Ram calls Yom Kippur, calls it Zman Tshuva. And therefore, Chayavim Kol Beiso Lasas Tshuva of Lisvaras B'Yom HaKippurim. You know, it's not as mitzvah as Zman Groma, but it's this day, the power of Tshuva permeates the universe, and you got to do Tshuva to be in step and take advantage of what's going on. Right? So first of all, why do we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud? So the Gemara says in more than one place in Shas, Ha Satan is Gematria 364. All right, it's 365 days in the year. Because there's one day the Satan doesn't work, and that's Yom Kippur. It's a Gemara. Right?
So they take the solar year as opposed to.
Yes, right. Because the solar kind of connected the Shasam Mitzvah Losase.
That's also.
The Shasalavin. Right? Yeah. The Losases, right?
No,
why not? That's what he tries to get you to do, the Losases.
Why not 354?
Right. All right, look, it's connected to what's bad, what the Torah outlawed, the Shasa, right, the 365 Lavin.
Maybe there should be a 354 Lavin.
Okay, fine. You're asking fundamentally, why are there 10 spheres? Why aren't there 11? Okay, fine, saying, okay.
In other words, because the Jewish year is usually 354 days.
No, but we have a lunisolar calendar. We have to keep Shamar Schodesh Aviv, right? We're on a lunisolar calendar, right? Okay, right. So, on this day, the sun, there's no Yetzirah, we're on the Madrega of Malachim. So what's the reason? This already is brought down in Sforim, the Nefesh HaChaim, not Nefesh HaChaim, the Derech Hashem says it in the fourth Derech Hashem, in the fourth Chelek, and his entry on Yom Kippur. Since there's on this day, we're on the Madrega of Malachim, right? The Yetzirah doesn't work. So we could say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud. Because the reason why we whisper it year-round, explains Ramchal over there, is because, who are we kidding? This is not God's glorious majesty, right? Because there's a lot of evil that happens, there's a lot of evil that I do. So you have to whisper it, because it's not, he says, we only say it in the schus of Yaakov Avinu, because our forefather Yaakov said it on his deathbed, right? So we have the right to say it because we're B'nai Yaakov, and not because it's what we live up to. So that's why it's B'chashai. On Yom Kippur, we say it out loud, because on this day, B'emes, it's God's glorious majesty, because on this day, the evil is annulled. This day goes back to like day one, when the whole world is underwater. Right, and that's represented by the Kohen Gadol going lifnai v'lifnim, which is God's space. That's not man's space, right? It's God's space, right? You're not allowed to go lifnai v'lifnim, right? And really, it's that's what that Yerushalmi that we call it. Yerushalmi, yes, but chol adam lo yebom, right? Aaron is an adam. Said no, he's a malach. It's a Yerushalmi. No, because taka kodesh hakadoshim is not man's space, right? We're getting out of the box. And we're mamash not in the regular Madregas Odom on this day. And that's why also Yom Kippur is also, as the Radziner says, going back on the Kash, says, Al Yovo B'chol Esel HaKodesh, right? So Yom Kippur is also on the calendar, right? So, you know, so says the Sifrei, B'chol Eis Zeh Yom HaKippur. So the Radziner explains, you know, the Koach of Yom Kippur is above regular time space that we know. It's not a regular day of the 6,000 years of, you know, of the world where there's Tov and Ra side by side. It's not. It's a day, the energy of the day is, it's the sun doesn't work. It's like the gap in the universe that gives the perception that there's a good side and a bad side has closed. That gap that opened on the second day of creation closes, right? And we're back on the first day of creation, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Echad Ba'olamo. It's the Yom Echad Bashana Ezu Zeh Yom HaKippurim. It's like the first day of creation. Right? We get out of the box. We're not in regular time space. And that's why the Ram calls it Ketz Mechila V'Slicha. It's a time of forgiveness because we cross over the edge. We're not in the box. It's reminiscent of, it's a day that's mamish, reminiscent of Ketz Hayomim. Right? That's the energy of the day. And it's all called Zman Tshuva. The world is going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The perception that there's separate space and that there's two sides to the issue, that perception, we're out of that box on Yom Kippur. And that's the secret of the Avod of Sira Mishtaleach, right? The statement that's being made. Two Sirim, Shovim Bekomasim Mareim, that represents our choices. They're the good things that we choose and they're the bad things that we choose, and they look equal. And that's when he's shoving bekomasan umareim, they look equal, look equally as real, right? And if so, you know, what hope is there for us? We're at best only half good, right? Yeah, right. And so now, so what's the message? The Kohen, he says, goros, not bechira. We're going above bechira. We're going to the world that's above bechira, right? So the Kohen that takes goros, it's not going to be bechira. We're going above. We're going above that, right? And then leaving it all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Hu will decide. And then, and that's how it gets clarified. Seer Echad.
Lottery is a chance, therefore
it's not my choice. Not my choice. God's choice. And we're living in step with His reality, right? And then we see the difference. Seer Echad Lashem connects to God, you know, goes with Naivel Ifnim, right? The Dam also goes to Dam Asir. It's called the Sir Hanase Bifnim, right? And so that, you know, the good is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ra goes to Azazel, goes into oblivion, right? And we just saw, now we said, it's technically a korban to the Sultan, right? And we're throwing our various way, but it's an amazing statement that evil only exists according to evil. It's called that the evil is collapsing on itself. Something that we're not allowed to consciously do, because that would be called giving it a carbon, but when the Torah is endorsing, when the Torah is making a statement, evil only exists according to evil. So we say we're throwing our averus away. V'yishev kol avonosam, avonos tam, chazal darshan, the avonos of Klai, so it's called tam, we're called complete, right? We're throwing it to the evil. What we say is that the evil is collapsing on itself like a black hole. There's the side of evil, and there's the averus, which is, you know, as it were, how the evil has infiltrated reality, right? Tempting us to make bad choices. All that bad is collapsing on itself and working its way out of existence just by being folded over on itself and being removed from reality, right? And it clarifies that what's good about us is real. And the bad things that we did, the only thing that's going to be left of the bad things that we did, if we do tshuva and we disassociate the bad perception, the bad choice, the only thing that's going to be left of our bad deeds, history that will be written at the end of time, God's history book, is going to record those bad deeds as my will was done like this, my will was done like that. Right? It will be, what will be left of it is how it served God's will. That's what we mean in the future. We're going to look at history and say everything is good. Right? God's history book looks a lot different than the way we would write a history book. Right? He sees how His will was done. Anything bad that we did, its place in God's history book will be how His will was done. But that's provided that, you know, that that you disassociate it, that you should be around to read that history book, is that you disassociate your bad choice from it. If you're still sticking with your bad choice, you're going to go down when this box closes. Right? You're going to go down when, you know, like the Umas Olam, you're going to go down with the box closed. But if you disassociate from that bad choice, you will be there to see, right, how everything you ever did serve that Kodesh Baruch Hu. But you'll only be there to see that if you disassociate from your having wanted to rebel against them. Right? And that's what happens on Yom Kippur. We're shown this is the day of, you know, of cosmic unity, right? That the evil is pushed out of existence and all the Chelkei HaTov coalesce. That's why it's called Yom Echad Bashana. Yom Echad Zeh Yom Echad Bashana Vezu Zeh Yom HaKippurim. It's the day of unity. That all the Chelkei HaTov come together, because what causes Pirud is the evil that, you know, infiltrates. And, you know, like when the Yetzer causes us to have machlokas with each other. And that's the problem of, you know, the infiltration of evil causes fragmentation. But when the evil is removed, so all the Chelkei HaTov coalesce. Right? And the Ra just, you know, not being able to infiltrate reality anymore, just folds over on itself and leaves. That's the amazing energy of this day. Right, which is, you know, what the individual could do year-round with the power of tshuva. With the power of tshuva, he could disassociate his, you know, himself from his bad choices. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all that will be remembered about his Avera is how it was mitzaref letova. If he disassociates himself, you know, at least takes away the bad choice, the bad perception about it. Right? But on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for the whole world. Right? That is the energy of the day. Everyone knows the Shita of Rebbe and the Gemara, Yom HaKippur Mechaper below Tshuva. Now, we don't paskin that way. We know it's only Mechaper L'Shavim. But Rebbe's not wrong. Because if, God forbid, no one would keep Yom Kippur, God forbid, the world would still get energized and cleaned up. Right? And every Yom Kippur that there would be would somehow help, you know, clean up the world and move it towards Mashiach and Olam Haba. Right? But You won't benefit from it unless you're doing tshuva. Meaning the Rabbanan and Rebbe don't have a machlokas about the power of Yom Kippur. They have a machlokas whether you could benefit from the power of Yom Kippur without doing tshuva. So you say the individual doesn't tap into the energy of Yom Kippur without tshuva. Right?
Just an interesting point that Rabbi Reichman mentioned on Sunday with the Rambam, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Heshi Reichman.
Right.
So he spoke at Rambam where I teach on right. Sunday. Gave over a little bit from Rabbi Soloveitchik, makes I think a very good, excellent deal in terms of, I don't understand, if tshuva is mechaper all year round, so what is the rebusa Yom Kippur is mechaper l'shavim? Okay, right. So what do you need Yom Kippur for? If you're doing tshuva, so it works all year round. By other words, Ishlam a Rebbe, so Yom Kippur is mechaper even for an Eila Einim Shavim, so you understand the cough of Yom Kippur. We don't, the Rambam doesn't pass by. We don't pass by the Rambam on Yom Kippur. Right. Only atones with Lashavit. So then, yeah, what do you need Yom Kippur for? Even all year round, if you're doing Tshuva Yom Kippur, you're going to get a Kapar.
Yetzer Hara takes off on Yom Kippur. It's not existing. Yetzer Hara doesn't exist on Yom Kippur. Yeah. The whole year you can do Tshuva, but you
saying it's easier on Yom Kippur. Okay, so but he gave a different shot. He said Lashavim, he didn't say it. The Rambam says Yom Kippur is Mechaper if you do Tshuva. That's not the Lashon. Lashava means you're engaged in the act of tshuva. There was you're engaged in an attempt, but it doesn't mean you were necessarily fully successful, uh-huh. Gamra, etc. Chaper Lashavim, those who are in the process of you're attempting to do tshuva, then that attempt combined with the Koch of Yom Kippur, then get Shiv's Kapar Mashenka all year round. An attempt, okay, it gets you a little place, but not that far.
Okay.
All year round, you have to be a mamash, you have to do the process.
Look, I mean, there's just a simple thing to say. If tshuva year-round, right, so even though, yes, it works, like the Rambam says, and chodover b'fnei tshuva, right, but, you know, as the Rambam says, you may have to suffer yisurin, you know, the cleanup is not complete without, you know, yeah.
You
know, you know, but, you know, but, you know, but the, you know, Yom Kippur, you know, you don't, if you take advantage of the day, it will save you a lot of pain. Right, because you're riding the wave of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fixing up His world, right? That Yom Kippur is mamish an injection of lo asid lavo. It's an injection of going, you know, looking at going to the future, looking at us going back to Yom HaRishon. However you want to look at it, we get out of the box, right? And one day here, the evil is ceased from reality. The evil folds in on itself. The shove rides the wave, right? And we'll get a lot further, and it'll be a lot easier, and save him a lot of pain. Right? Save him a lot of pain as opposed to if he, you know, doesn't take advantage of Yom Kippur and he just relies on the power of tshuva alone. Right? But of course, what tshuva is, Yom Kippur is a cosmic day of tshuva. That's what the Rambam says. Zman tshuva lakol. It's tshuva time. And tshuva time is not regular space time. Tshuva time is when we go up lamala. It's called tshuva, going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, getting beyond human perception that sees things as tov versus ra and sees them, God forbid, as being equally evil. And kshze kom ze nofel, as if you could really hurt the tov, as if, because vayav delokim, put him on an adversarial seesaw relationship, right? On Yom Kippur, we get out of that box, right? And that's what the Baal Tshuva does for himself with Tshuva, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the world on Yom Kippur. But for the individual, the way we paskin like Rebbe says, Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleaning up his world. We paskin that you're not going to tap into that energy. It'll be called that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleaned up his world, right? You're not tapping into that energy, right? If you're not doing Tshuva. Now, you have the famous Mice in the Gemara, right? That just shows you this business that there's no Yetzer on Yom Kippur. You could pay him overtime. That we see. And get him back to work. The Gemara says, Reb Lazar b'Reb Shimon, right, mastered a father and son to the Malchus. And he felt very bad about it. I mean, he thought he was justified, but felt guilty. He mastered a Yid. And he told him that this fallen son teen were gang raped, a Nara Morasa on Yom HaKippurim. How did it happen? There's no Yetzer on Yom Kippur. Well, because if you're not doing tshuva, you don't tap into that energy. Or you could say it like this. The Yetzer is not, it's not regular working time. He's on paid vacation, but you could pay him overtime and invite him back into your personal world. Right, but same difference. It means you don't automatically tap into the energy of the day. That's the energy of the day. Going back to Mamash Yom Rishon, which is also the koach of La'asid Lavo. Right? But as we said before, the koach of La'asid Lavo, it's Mila over Yom HaRishon. With this, we're ending, right? The koach of La'asid Lavo is that everything could be fully and actually existent and still feel this tremendous connection called Bittul, but Bittul without Bittul. Bittul without Bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the mistake of Nodav Avihu. And that's why, going back to our original Kasha, that so first of all, explain why this is not in the regular Parsha of the Moadim, because this is not normal space-time, right? This is not normal space. The other Moadim are normal space-time. The special Avodos of Yom HaKippurim that we're discussing, like Lifnai V'Lifnim and Sira Mishlech, is out of the box of normal space-time. That's why it's not in the Parsha of the Moadim, it's its own Parsha. Right? That Kasha we answered. But I'm going to explain that this was the Tos of, of Nodav Avihu. They had such a cheshek to be bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And they got what they wanted, and they became living korbanos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the bittul, to his rotzen without losing your existence. And as there's a balance, and that's why that they wanted, even in Olam Hazeh, to just be totally lifnei Hashem. Bakum Eish Zora Asher Lo Tziva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be engaged in Mochemes Hayetzer. He wants us to be in the box. That's our job. That's our 6,000 years. We earn our Olam Haba with that. He doesn't want us to leave the box. None of Avihu wanted out. They want to get beyond. And Lo Bazeh Chofetz Hashem, we have to contend with it. But we get their Rutzen has its place. And that's when doing tshuva. And that's on Yom Kippur. So it's Achrei Mos, Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bekorvosam Lifnei Hashem Vayamusu. That there is a time to be Bekorvosam Lifnei Hashem, to be Lifnai V'Lifnim, right? There is a time, there's a place for it, and that's on Yom Kippur, and that's when doing tshuva, that you get out of the box, but both in Klali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us in the box, as we were sent to this world for, to fight, to shadow box with the evil. That's what we're doing here. And b'schus that's why, La'asid Lavo, there's bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without bittul. There's bittul without bittul. You understand, eino milvado, but you still feel your own existence, and it's not a stira. And that's on Yom Kippur. Because the first pasuk the Zohar says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is called Yehuda Ilah. Nefesh HaChaim explains that when we're mechavin, when we say Hashem Echad, Hashem is literally the one and only real thing, nothing else is real, which is the bittul of our existence. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso is called Yehuda Tata, the lower unification, in the sense that we say there's God and there's us also. Just, we're Kvod Malchuso. It's not a stira, because, we're His glorious majesty. So there's a melech and there's an am. There is Od Milvado, but it's not, it's not, it, but it's a melech, but we get our melech and am, right? And that's why we say it b'chashai, says Nefesh HaChaim, another reason. Because how can you say it out loud after you said Einol Milvado Mamish? It's like taking away. But on Yom Kippur, you say both of them out loud. That there's mamish, a synthesis and a total reconciliation between Yehud Eloh, Yehud Tato. A total reconciliation between Einol Milvado Kipshuto, Mamish Mamish, and that we exist also. On Yom Kippur, there's no stira. Year-round, there's a stira, right? Seemingly, in our minds, there's a stira. By our perception, there's a stira. Because our existence also is infiltrated with evil, and that's against him being the one and only. So year-round, by our perception, there's a stira, so we have to say it b'chashai. We have to whisper it. But on Yom Kippur, that's the great reconciliation between his absolute existence and our existence, right? We get out of the box. But we get out of the box to have a tam of his Einol Milvado. We get beyond our choices, and yet it's not Mivatal our Metzias. Right? We still have, there's the day after Yom Kippur, getting back to the job. None of Avi wanted out of the box totally.
But right? The day after Yom Kippur is when you can do the Gemara, because you're not going to be put back into the same situation of a full repentance until the day after Yom Kippur.
That's right. And you know, so the guy who does Tshuva Gemara, he didn't do Tshuva Gemara at that spot. He did Tshuva Gemara before he met the girl, right? And that's why he's not doing it, right? Yeah, that's right. The sign that you did Tshuva Gemara is the day after. But you get the power, that you could be all the same Tivus and still choose differently. You get that from Yom Kippur.
The opposite, right? Taking a
nether. You're taking a nether. Okay, I'm really on Yom Kippur.
All right, any questions? All right, thank you very much, Rosh, to help us. Take advantage. Tap into the energy of the day. Thank you so much. If not for you, everyone would have left.